I want to know, adults out there, I guess I'm thinking when you were a kid, but I mean, I guess it could have been more recent than being a kid. But how many of you remember being in a Christmas play, a nativity play, having a part, okay? All right, now, if you're like me, I just sort of had like the background part, right? You said a verse, right? But maybe some of you actually got to have kind of a named part. Anybody play Mary? Oh, we've got a Mary back there, okay, good. Anybody Joseph? Anybody play Joseph? All right, a couple Josephs. Gabriel, Angel Gabriel. Okay, all right. Angel Choir? Okay, all right. We're having a better distribution of parts than when I ask the kids what they want to do. How about innkeeper? There's no room for you. No? Oh man, I always wanted that part. You open the door, you say no room for you, and then you're done. You know, that's a good part. How about shepherd? Shepherd. Wise men? Okay, all right. And seriously, anybody, were you the baby Jesus? You were the baby Jesus? Did you say no? Oh, you were. All right, we'll have to hear that story later. Okay, he was the baby Jesus. All right, and then I'll ask you that same story, same question. Anybody want to be a donkey? Anybody want to be? Were you a donkey? Anybody? Wait, you were a donkey? Seriously? That's another story too. All right. Anybody in a Christmas play with a live donkey? No? Okay. All right, we'll just have to...
In Texas, my friend they had a nativity scene, they had donkeys and camels.
Donkeys and camels, yeah, we're not doing that because I'm scared of that. Okay. But if you look at your theology, Graham, whether on the handout or the bulletin, you'll see that donkeys play a prominent part there in a standard nativity play. And it's a part that gets overlooked a lot of times. But we can't forget, right? The donkey brought Mary to Bethlehem, right? Joseph and Mary, they've got to get to Bethlehem because they're going to be counted in the census. And so, you know, every picture I've ever seen is that, you know, Mary's riding on a donkey to Bethlehem. And so, you know, we need to have a donkey in our nativity scene. And I was reading the Christian writer Max Lucado, and he describes donkeys at Christmas. He says it this way, and you're thinking about what part to have. We'd rather be Joseph, rugged and bearded. We'd rather be Mary, faithful and beautiful and immaculate. But somebody needs to be the donkey, Lance. And I'm thinking a donkey at Christmas is a good thing to be. The Christmas donkey did his work. He delivered Jesus so Jesus could be delivered. Nice. This is Max Lucado, not mine. The donkey plodded. He didn't gallop or giddy up. He did what donkeys do. He steadily stepped in the direction the master directed. And upon arrival, he stepped to the side. He demanded no recognition, expected no compensation. He isn't even mentioned in the Bible. Wait, let me check that. Max Lucado says donkeys aren't mentioned in the Bible at Christmas. Whew, okay, well, that just kind of threw out the whole idea here about talking about donkeys here on Christmas Eve. Hope that doesn't ruin your Christmas, but he's right. No donkeys mentioned in Matthew or Luke when we're talking about the birth of Jesus. But I don't want you to go home and, like, go run home and, like, throw away the donkey from your nativity set at home. Don't do that, okay? Especially the Fisher-Price donkey. It's pretty cute. But it's true. No donkey mentioned. There could have been a donkey. We just don't know. So there's no donkey here. No donkey mentioned in the Bible, but donkeys play an prominent role in two stories from Scripture. And with all of Scripture pointing to Jesus as Messiah, Jesus as Christ, Jesus as the promised Savior who would come and forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life, with everything in Scripture pointing that direction, even two stories about donkeys from other places in Scripture, well, they can point to tonight and Christmas Eve. So first, Scott's going to share with us the story you've got in your bulletins there. It's Balaam's donkey from Numbers chapter 22. And you just think, where else on Christmas Eve is anyone hearing about Balaam's donkey? All right, go ahead.
Balak, the king of Moab, had a problem. The Israelites were being led into the promised land by God and were commanded by God to destroy all of the current residents of that land. They had just finished their task of wiping out the Amorites, and the Moabites were next. The people of Moab were terrified because there were so many Israelites. In fact, Moab was filled with panic because of the people of Israel. King Balak made a plan. He would pay Balaam to put a curse on the Israelites. Balaam was a magician, a false prophet. He was not one of God's chosen people, nor was he a believer. He put curses on people for money. But God did speak to Balaam, trying to lead him towards the true way. Balaam wasn't interested in listening, though. King Balak asked for Balaam to come meet him. Balaam rode a donkey to meet Balak. An angel of the Lord appeared to the donkey on his way three times. Each time, the donkey saw the angel and tried to turn away. She knew the Lord was against Balak. Each time the donkey turned away, Balaam beat the donkey to try to keep her moving forward. After the third time, the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she talked to Balaam. The donkey said to Balaam, "What have I done to you? Why did you hit me those three times?" At the same time, God made Balaam see the angel. Balaam repented, and God sent him to King Balak, just like Balak had wanted. But when Balak asked the magician to curse the Israelites, and even though Balaam still wanted to curse the Israelites, God would not let him. Instead, God made Balaam bless the Israelites.
Thanks, Scott. Who wants to be the donkey now? The donkey who suddenly gets to speak? All right, Fenton, you're still wanting to be the donkey. That's good. I mean, this is a pretty exciting part with this donkey. It's a great story. And it ties in, I think, pretty well. Because the donkey, like the shepherds on Christmas night, the donkey saw an angel. And the donkey got to see what God was doing. And God was doing things in a way we would not expect. And that's exactly what's happening at Christmas. We would not expect God's plan of salvation to come down to a little baby in Bethlehem. So Balaam goes on to reluctantly bless the Israelites. King Balak was furious, but Balaam says, "I have to speak what God has told me to say." Basically, Balaam would say, "I don't like it either, but you should have seen the donkey. You should have heard the donkey. You'd go along with it too." Balaam goes on to bless the Israelites four times. And each time King Balak asks, Balaam ends up speaking blessing. And here's part of what he said in blessings. "The Lord, their God, is with Israel, and the shout of a king is among them. A star shall come out of Israel." I don't know about you, but those blessings sound a lot like blessings that find fulfillment at Christmas when Jesus is born. The Lord our God is with us in the flesh, in the Son of God, the Messiah, Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. This Jesus, he is King of Kings, and so the shout of a king is among us because Jesus is among us. A star shall come out of Israel. And not the Bethlehem star pointing to Jesus, but Jesus the star, the morning star, the one who is above all things. These were words that God gave Balaam to speak, and they get fulfilled in Jesus. We wouldn't get to those blessings without that donkey, who saw the angel, who spoke through the power of God, who knew what God was doing, who pointed ahead to when Jesus would be born. Tonight is not just a random night that Jesus was born. Everything was pointing towards it, even a donkey. We might not know if Mary rode a donkey to Bethlehem, but Balaam's donkey was certainly part of God's redemption story. And now, Pat, more familiar story. Go ahead. This is a much more familiar story from the New Testament, the village donkey.
Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee."
Standing here on Christmas Eve, I suppose you could say this is the donkey of the future, because after Jesus is born, 33 years later is when this donkey would carry Jesus into Jerusalem, 6 days before he is crucified. And like the blessings spoken by Balaam, this donkey is in the presence of blessings and praises spoken about Jesus, the Messiah, the King. They say, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey." We might not know if Jesus got to Bethlehem or when he flees into Egypt with his parents. We might not know if there was a donkey back then, but we know that he rides a donkey on Palm Sunday. And so at both Christmas and Palm Sunday, Jesus is King of Kings, and there's a donkey somewhere in the story. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." What they're saying is, "Save us, O King. Save us, King Lord Jesus." And those words of praise on Palm Sunday and the blessings spoken by Balaam, I would call all of that the songs of the donkey. And even if no donkeys are mentioned in Matthew or Luke, you don't have to go home and throw away your donkeys. I want you to go home and find donkeys in your nativity scenes and remember that they sang songs and they were in the presence of songs. And God has been working on this whole redemption story throughout all of this time. The songs of the donkeys are part of every song we sing at Christmas, part of all our hopes and dreams tonight, part of knowing Jesus, that he is among us for our salvation as King of Kings. In fact, I'd go ahead and say that Balaam's donkey and the Palm Sunday donkey, we can call them Christmas donkeys. Balaam blessed God's people with words from God. The shout of a king is among them. The Palm Sunday crowd celebrated Jesus as king. And so now we will sing, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." Balaam said, "A star shall come out of Israel." So now we will sing, "Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings." See, we're singing donkey songs, Christmas donkey songs. So maybe you do want that part in the standard nativity play. We rejoice in Jesus. We remember him as our Savior and King. And like donkeys, we will steadily step in the direction our Master directs. And then we will step to the side to let the King of Glory come in. Amen.